21-11-1185, 700 block of San Antonio. Be on a gold Malibu.
Check 11-102,
Mountain View. Welcome to the next edition of the Mountain View Police Department Silicon Valley Beat. I am Sergeant Saul Jaeger, and you are.
Woo.
Yeah,
we've got That's a really good book, by the way. This is Shino Tanaka. It's great to have you guys here.
Yes, and so today we have our partners from the library here. We have, go ahead.
What?
You were going to say something.
See something.
Awesome.
Say something.
All right, we
650-903-6395. Call us.
This is going well right from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's been a while since actually you and I have done a podcast together, so I'm making up for lost time since you've been cheating on me.
Mm. Cheating on you.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Powerful.
Yes.
Anyway.
And I've seen what you did to my poor bear over there.
Well, you haven't been here, so I've had to do these podcasts by myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on, shall we? We have some very special guests here. Can you just stick to the
story here? So we have our partners from the library today, right? We have Emily Week, who's a librarian there.
I hope
I got the titles right.
Nope. You got it right.
She's the librarian and adult and virtual services.
That's
is that correct. Right, Emily?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She's been there 2 years.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Have I? Yep.
And
yeah.
Uh-huh. Paul Sims, who is the
library services manager. Come on down, Paul Sims.
Hey,
and he's
hello.
Been there for 4 years.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. welcome, you guys. Thanks for coming.
No, thank you for having us.
It's a little weird to do a podcast with the police department, but.
But you know what? That just goes to show you how special this library is. How many libraries partner with the police department?
Hmm. Well, okay, yeah. let's jump right into it. We have a couple employees from the police department that actually work there, right?
Yes.
One of you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so well, we have a police assistant program where we have employees who work for the police department. They're not actually full-fledged officers, I don't think. But
right.
They're like civilian officers? Is that what you would say?
No, they're not sworn officers.
No,
but
they're like community service officers.
Yeah, they're library assistants, police library assistants. Great job, by the way, if you want to get to know the library and the police department.
It's true. A couple of them there actually want to be police officers eventually.
Mm-hmm. Or a librarian.
That's a good way in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or a librarian.
Or both.
Or a police officer librarian.
Yeah, wow. That's a new title. I might apply for that.
Like a superhero.
If there are any of you out there, tweet us at Mountain View PD because we'd like to hear from you.
For
I don't know
officer
that
librarian.
Any of them exist, so I'll leave it when I see it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no, but it's a really great program. So what we do is we have, you know, basically they're in uniform. They're in the library. They're there to kind of promote, you know, positive interactions in the community with the library, with the police department. I mean, I think it's really about a positive image. It's really kind of a way to, you know, maybe eliminate some behavior problems that might originate for people who don't like police presence. But really, it's about creating relationships and kind of making that positive, positive image of the library. They do story times on Saturdays, so we have one of the police assistants in uniform sit down. They'll read a story maybe once a month in the children's room on a Saturday morning, so you should check that out. It's pretty fantastic. And they're just there to keep the peace, but also, you know, be smiling faces and let
people interact.
Yeah, and it's really great.
I think it encourages communication, too, because both our patrons talk to the police assistant, and the police assistant has this inside with the police department, so we can communicate. If there happened to be a problem at the library, we could communicate it quite quickly, but also just regular people can talk to them.
Oh, yeah. You know? We had an incident yesterday, too, where we had a customer who couldn't find his belongings, actually, in the library, and he didn't come to the reference librarian. He saw the police assistant and went right for him. He was like, oh, no, I can't find my things. Our police assistant was great. He walked around the building with him, said, did you remember where you left him? It just turned out he put him down somewhere where he didn't remember. And he was just there to facilitate kind of like doing this without kind of like jumping to a conclusion that someone stole my stuff or
right,
something, you know.
Right.
He was there to just walk him through, whereas, you know, we might have been like, uh-oh, you know, you need to call the police because you lost your stuff.
And but, you guys get some interesting folks coming through there. I mean, it's a representation of the community completely, right? And there's people that are retired. You've got students that come in there and use it.
Everybody is welcome at the library, and that means everybody. So it's like moms and kids. It's also maybe you're more of an unsavory character. You're still welcome. Like,
And I think that's kind of an interesting sort of correlation to law enforcement. And I'm just looking at your website here. If you go to mountainview.gov and you go to the library department, your mission is to be the information center for our diverse community, which we definitely are, right? Providing a dynamic place to share resources and ideas, to find joy in reading, and to experience the power of lifelong learning. And I think that that fits in fabulously with what we try and do, although sometimes at the end we arrest you or give you a citation. So maybe there is a happier story, so to speak, at the library.
Yeah,
but that still requires reading.
Like, you have to be able to read a citation. Your citation.
That's right, yes. And some numbers, too.
It's math, too.
This is kind of interesting. You were going how fast over the speed limit? No.
If a car is traveling, anyway.
Yeah.
So let's just talk a little bit about both of you, because I think that one of the things that I've noticed since I've been here, which is unique to Mountain View, and in particular the Mountain View Library, which speaks to really the mission and vision of what you are trying to accomplish, is that you are so proactive with other departments, including the police department, right? Trying to really figure out ways to create this culture of learning and sharing. Can you guys speak to a little bit about that, and what really was the impetus behind it, and why you're so passionate about it?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, this city, when I came to the city, I'd worked for the county, Santa Clara County Library System for a long time, and we were pretty much our own entity. You know, we were governed by a joint powers board, had our own tax base, we had our own, almost essentially our own HR department, so everything was really insulated. We didn't get a lot of opportunities to partner with other places, and when I came to Mountain View, I thought that was a great opportunity. I remember coming on board and going through like an orientation through the city, and it was like, you know, you're in with everybody. You're in with the new officers, you're with the new fire guys, you're in with like people who are accountants, and you're kind of encouraged to partner and work together. And I just felt like this is a great city to work for. It's a great opportunity for us to partner, and I also see areas where we kind of overlap. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was one way to do it, and is just to reach out to other people as we meet each other. I mean, we're working on some programs right now with our community development folks. You know, when the city has goals, you know, that are overarching, even if they're not directly related to the library, it's like, let's see what we can do to make sure that we support, you know, building a great community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why I love the city, is that exactly that mindset of collaboration versus just kind of sticking to your lane and that's all you do. Because I think traditionally, right, if you look at other libraries or cities, that's kind of, you know, you stay over there. But really, I mean, like you said, and I think this is the beauty of this program that you guys have, or the programs that you have, is that you bring in other people who, you know, departments that would never otherwise think to collaborate mm-hmm. with the library. You know, I mean, Emily, can you speak to some of the programs that you guys have launched?
Yeah, well, we had the canine officer came last summer. Our summer reading theme was Pause to Read, so it was an animal themed program.
P-A-W-S.
Okay. Good job, you read that book.
I was barfing. I participated.
Yeah. I know, you brought the reptiles.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that in a minute.
We had Officer Odin, which is your canine officer, mm-hmm. and how funny that you can't remember the human officer's name.
But Officer Hansen, Doreen Hansen, yes.
Who has been a guest on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And here's a wonderful person. So she brought Odin to the library, and people of everyone, because everyone is welcome at the library, got to meet Odin and Officer Hansen. And
yeah, up close, too. Right? A lot of kids got to pet him. And
I think the other big part of this, too, is that it promotes reading, which we know is good for everyone, right? And exposes this. I need to do some reading.
Exposes it.
Yes.
What else does it expose?
It exposes people to just things like reading, right? Books that they would never maybe have heard of before that relate to, say, construction, to finance, to the police department. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Well, one thing that was cool, if I can interject.
Go.
So Emily and I spoke a week ago or so about some programs mm-hmm. and things that the police department might be able to partner with. But one that was, I don't know if we're going to be able to participate, mm-hmm. But was a really good idea was the big trucks one.
Which I don't know if we'll be able to do, but I really hope
so.
I
know, right?
It's a great idea. Yeah. Like, even if it doesn't come to fruition, Shino and I were talking about this morning that, you know, it's neat to bring all of the other stuff that's going on and then tie those directly within the city, right? And then mm-hmm. tie those directly into reading, right? There's so much... for kids.
And so the idea basically is to have Big Truck Day. So we would invite big trucks from every department in the city and maybe PG&E to just mm-hmm. come and park in the library parking lot, and people could come check them out, which I think would be a killer program.
So simple. That's awesome.
But I think, you know, the thing is, so libraries traditionally are about books. Traditionally, they're a book warehouse. But now, when information is so plentiful and it's so easy for people to get books, the library is, it's a really interesting time to be a librarian because we can explore what else is the library about. So we are about books.
Yeah.
We're about books and we're about reading, but we're also about information. And we're about making sure people have access. Everybody has access to information. So some of that is not just like, here's a book, but it's here's somebody you can talk to who has information that the information in people is huge, and not everybody has access. Not everybody knows a police officer. So if we can have them there to talk to a police officer, they learn something.
It's really powerful.
Yeah. I mean, the resources we offer, I mean, they're all, you know, people don't learn, you know, you talked about lifelong learning, that's a real big hook for our mission. You know, people learn differently. And, you know, sometimes it's not through books. People really might not even want to pick up a book, or a lot of people haven't even read a book in the last year, but, you know, they've come to our programs and they've had a chance to see, you know, or like we had tax day. We had this free tax filing event. We had a ton of people come for that.
And, oh, I bet.
You know, we helped 124 people get their taxes filed in one day, which is an amazing amount. These are low-income people who don't even come to the library that often. They just heard about it through the news channels or whatever like that, and they just thought, oh my god, and they learned something new, that we have a lot of different things going on for them. So
speaking of different, I think that's again going back to adapting to change. You know, we are very much a digital society, right? And information is so easily so I've learned that as you get closer to the age of 40, your ability to
put sentences together.
Yes, yes, yes.
Use proper grammar.
Yes, that too. But it takes longer to recover. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, that's just a Silicon Valley thing. It's nothing to do with age. No. I had this crazy midterm. Speaking of lifelong learning, okay. So I had midterms this week, and my English midterm. I thought, okay, 6 essay questions, no problem, right? Well, I started the midterm at 9 o'clock in the evening, figuring, okay, a couple hours, no big deal. No, man. I didn't get to bed till 4:30 a.m. It took 7 hours for me. I don't even know if that's the right math, but all I remember is that it was 7 hours. So I have not pulled an all-nighter like that in 20 plus years. So like, I think it just affected me this week. Okay, that's all.
Well, we're here for you.
Thank you. Anyhow, we are all having to adapt to the change, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting is that you guys have taken a very unique approach, and there were some things that when I looked at your website, or when I sign up for the newsletter, mm-hmm. so I know what's going on, which I highly recommend you do if you live in the city. I saw stuff like Girls Who Code Club, and I was like, Girls Who Code? Like, I get the Mother Goose story times and all that stuff, but there were a lot of like non-traditional sort of events happening. You have like a knit and crochet club, and I was like, knit and crochet? I'm like, so Saturday. I'm like, what is going on? But it makes sense. And explain to us if you can, because we do similar things, right? People are like, why are you guys on social media? Why do you, you know,
why do you have a podcast?
Exactly. Right. We don't understand. But really, what it goes back to, Emily, and you alluded to this too, is how do you reach people, and how do you get that next generation of folks to come in and realize the importance of holding a book or being able to access information through all the variety of computers that you guys have there. Can you guys speak to that a little bit?
Well, the girls, so digital literacy is a huge, like that's a new literacy. Like libraries have been supporting like how do you read literacy for a long time. But there are a lot of people that don't know how to use a computer, and not even, so the very basic aren't literate, but then also like coding is a new literacy that I think particularly the Girls Who Code Club is for 12 to 18, I think. So it's to encourage, you know, that generation to learn to code, which is going to be a much more important skill. I mean, it is already an important skill, but.
And helping women get into engineering.
Right.
That's always a big push, especially for Silicon Valley. So.
Yeah,
it's really huge. Kind of an emphasis on like, oh, you know, let's just kind of look at these inequalities in terms of, you know, what are demographics in our tech sector and say, hey, let's start at the foundation of that and like support that. You know, that's what we're about, is supporting people's desire to be
to learn to
be their better selves or whatever they want
to function in society.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
But when you think about the library, at least from just a layperson's point of view, I don't see the library as having such a critical role in my life. But really, what I'm hearing from you guys and what I've learned over time is that's not the case, right?
I don't think everybody needs to come to the library. Some people have all their own resources, they're not interested. But we have a lot of people. We have how many people come through the door? 4,000?
Yeah.
4,000 people come through the door a day?
A month.
A month?
I was going to say, oh my.
There's quite a few people.
That's a lot. 4,000 a month.
4,000 a month, yeah.
It's probably higher than that, actually, now I think about
it. I thought maybe it's 2,000 and it was 4,000 on Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
Oh, Star Wars Day, come on.
So we have a large chunk of the city comes through every day. And for some people, libraries are essential, like particularly, I think, people with kids are, you know, part of our core. Seniors are part of our core. People that are homeless people are kind of part of our core patron base. People that don't have the resources and can't afford them.
We're also insurance too. I mean, we're kind of like the insurance. You know, a lot of people, they come every week, they get their books, they check them out, they check out the movies, they take them home, they bring them back. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who they don't have a printer anymore. I need a printer. Where do I go? Mm-hmm. Guess what? They go to the library, or they need their internet connection goes down. They come to the library, or they need to do a resume for whatever reason. They need some help with that. Yeah. And that's we're kind of there for those people who only need us once a year, but we're there for everyone, the people who need us once a year, whether they're going to use the bathroom or nice chair.
It's a quality of life service. So I think, you know, police, fire are essential services, but do you want to live in a community that just has police and fire, or do you want to live in a community that values learning and values community and has a place where everybody is welcome to come and work out their differences over computers and books? So really that's what it says, is it says we have a commitment to education, we have a commitment to supporting literacy for everybody, like Paul said, like as a safety net too. So not just for I don't have a printer anymore, but I never learned to read, like we have literacy programs, or I never learned to use a computer.
Things that we often take for granted because we are in such a digital literate area.
Right. Mm. Well, it's interesting that you guys have become such a community hub.
Yeah,
really.
I mean,
that's what a lot of it is. Like, the kids, they get out of school, a lot of them hang out at the library. It's a very welcoming space, just the way that it's physically designed, even in the outside and little courtyard areas and things. It's just a nice place to be.
One question I have, though. When are you going to start serving coffee? That would be make it even much more community oriented.
We've heard this a lot, and I think, you know, there's parts of me that said, like, this would be really awesome to have coffee in the library. But at the same time, it's like, you know, that little pass or fail sign on the front. I don't know. That's a whole other thing.
This
I don't want to get into.
An A grade
into,
or a but, D grade. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in libraries that have them, I mean, a lot of libraries that have coffee shops just, they're like, oh my God, what a pain to run these things and operate.
That's a whole other business.
Yeah, it really is. And then, you know, a lot of times they outsource it to another, you know, department. We've got a coffee shop right around the corner. I mean, it's called the Bean Scene. It's right next to the Performing Arts, and that really does support that kind of clientele that's at the Performing Arts.
The
library folks go there, but there's Starbucks, there's Pete's. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff within walking distance. So I mean, it's kind of
So you can go and get a book and then enjoy some coffee and sit out in the little area.
Rotunda.
Yeah. So,
Pioneer Park. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What? one of the things that I think that a lot of folks probably don't know about is that you have multiple blogs, and one of them in particular is the Mountain View Public Library blog. It's mvpl.blogspot.com. You also have one for teens, right?
Yeah.
And you're also obviously on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot. Tell us a little bit about how you, because I'm kind of curious, because I actually searched for police books on here. you know, how can one, I wanted to see if anyone reviewed one, you know, like,
Well, like the true crime stuff?
Or anything, you know, I mean, just about law enforcement or, but say if I wanted to write a review on The Bones of Paris, like is the most recent one, do you allow people to submit to your blog, or do you guys do it yourself? How does that work?
They're librarian reviews, so we haven't had patron review or police. Are you saying you want a segment
maybe
on our blog where you review police
no,
books?
She has so much time.
Yeah, because we have so much time. No. Like, say, you know, I'm a passionate person in the community, and I loved, kind of looking at all the classes you offer on sewing and, just tech. If I wanted to contribute some way back to you guys, because you give so much to the community, how could I do that, right? Like, how can I give back to the library?
Well, the Friends of the Library accepts donations, and they're very, very supportive. So,
They fund a lot of the
most
programs
of our programs
that we do.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're really supportive. So, and they're a great group. They have a book sale coming up this weekend, so I don't know if this will be out. I don't know how long it takes to get this into the universe, but there's a book sale this weekend, and we have book sales. They host book sales 3-4 times a year. Mm-hmm. One around the holidays is really popular.
And those are fundraisers for the library.
They're fundraisers. People donate books to the library, and then they go through those donations, and a lot of those we just can't add to our collection just because of the, we already own it, or we have plenty on that topic. And so they just sell them, and then those all go to fund programs at the library. They go to fund a special collection of bestseller books that you can check out for a week. The Friends of the Library is a great support organization. That's one real good way to support. And we accept volunteers too, and that's another way. We could always use volunteers.
We have the sewing program is a volunteer runs the sewing program, and she basically just shows people how to thread the machines. Mm-hmm. Every Saturday you can make an appointment to use one of our sewing machines for 45 minutes.
You guys have sewing machines?
We have the library owns
this
four sewing machines.
This is a full-service library.
Oh my gosh, this is
crazy.
So a couple years ago, Paul wrote a grant for maker programs. Mm-hmm. So we bought, that's when we had a lot of sort of maker technology purchases.
Yeah, we did 3D printing for a year. That's right.
You had the MakerBot there.
MakerBot. Mm-hmm. We did, we got sewing machines. We had soldering irons, so we bought it. Dozens of soldering irons.
Danger.
They're not really dangerous. I mean, if you think about it, but,
But that's so cool, though.
That is so cool.
When I grew up, the library was the Dewey Decimal System place. You had to memorize the numbers, right?
Wow, you must be really old.
Where am I? But that was the traditional library, right? And then you go today, and it's the Mountain View Library is so much different, vibrant. It's this living, breathing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool.
And I think it really speaks to the work that you guys have done, and also the leadership. Roseanne, I think you both report into her.
She's the director of the
library. She's a great woman.
Why isn't she here?
Because you did invite her, apparently. Jeez.
We don't want the boss.
The one in the summer. Yeah. We'll do that.
We'll definitely have to bring her in. But she believes in and everything that you guys are doing, which I think is awesome. And the city gets behind it, and it's great. I do want to throw out the Mountain View Library, Friends of the Library. It's mvlibraryfriends with an s.org. It's mvlibraryfriends.org. And if you haven't already, do sign up and go to the library's website. You can just go to mountainview.gov, click on the departments drop down, and you can click on library. And they have just so many classes on like ESL and retirement planning and stuff that you would never imagine would be in the library is at our library, so take advantage of it.
And we do tours too. I want to mention we do a monthly tour of the library, so you get a chance to see behind the scenes. Typically, Emily runs it. I've done it a couple
times.
You're
doing it this month.
Am I doing it this month?
Oh, surprise!
Okay. What night is that? Okay, so So typically, we just we have a small group of folks. We run them through the library, kind of show them the behind the scenes stuff that they might not get to see. We have a bookmobile or a mobile library in the city. Most people don't even realize that.
That thing is cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
And you make stops at various locations, right? Like even companies?
Yeah, so there's a couple at corporate stops. We also do a lot of senior centers. We do the senior center in town. We do preschools, and so we do a story time. And that gives the teachers a time to grab the books that are on the mobile library for their classrooms. And so they, it really works out. It's really perfect.
Behind the scenes thing. It's happening. Oh, no.
See?
Mm-hmm. When I went through the Leadership Mountain View stuff, we actually got to go. And there's a lot of automation that's going on. What happens when you drop the book in the little thing and it disappears, right? What people don't realize, and there's some really kind of cool stuff going on back there.
And I think also if you kind of go back to the law enforcement connection, one of the things that you mentioned earlier, Sergeant Jaeger, is that it's a great place for kids. And I don't think that – actually, I've been here – off and on as a resident of Mountain View now for over 10 years. And I think one of the things that I didn't realize having a kid who's about to go into middle school are the number of resources you have for children as far as educate, not just reading books, right, but research, right? And also during the summertime, I think you have a tutoring program where kids tutor kids, so like teens tutor kids. There's that program. But I mean, it's a great program or programs for us in law enforcement because it helps keep our children connected, active, you know, participating in their community, and hopefully, you know, instilling that feeling of just lifelong learning that we talk about. Right?
Well, I think you're talking about the homework assistant program.
Yes,
that's actually
yes.
going on all the time.
Oh, it
we
is.
Actually
okay.
have, I mean, most of the time, I think. And what we do is we just hire high school students who are, you know, high achievers. They're able to give back and to share and to be kind of peer support, which is really critical because, you know, the librarian can teach you and help you, mm-hmm. but it's kind of still that kind of top-down thing. And when you have a peer helping you or kind of working with you, I think it just is a little bit more positive and a little more powerful. So mm-hmm. That's the one thing I think we do. And then we also have an online tutoring service we subscribe to. It's called BrainFuse, and that's available through for any library card holder, and you just go through our
the
website.
Comfort of your home.
You know, and if you go on there, you just log in during a certain window of time, and it's for students. There's some things for adults too in there, but you really can go in and get help on your homework and get help with all sorts of topics. You know, everything from English, right. math, history. So that's another resource that we have.
So Shino, they have English classes. Do they have pronunciation classes?
That's our mango
languages. Do they
languages.
Sign language classes?
We also have a thing called Mango Languages, mm-hmm. and it's like
Mango's
this online
cool.
interactive language
oh,
learning service.
I need Mango.
And so we have like, they have over 80 languages you can
Whoa.
Learn. So
yeah, Mango's a good one. I actually have played with that.
It's pretty
including
cool.
Including English as a second language.
Yeah.
So and not just like I speak English and I want to learn Russian, but
right.
I speak Russian and I want to learn English.
Yeah, and it's geared for the Russian speaker, so it's all in Russian, and then it helps you learn in Russian to speak
that
English.
That is,
so, or
then it's
Chinese
Mango.
Or, yeah.
Mango language.
And then it has another really funky feature where it has movies, full-length feature films that are subtitled in a way to help you learn in conversational whatever language you're
I'm totally going to go check
so.
This out now.
It's super cool.
Mango has that now?
Mango has this whole video collection where
oh,
you can just go in, you watch a movie in Mandarin, and the text is in Mandarin and also in like the phonetic English, and it highlights the words they're speaking, and you can kind of highlight it and see what the words are.
That is awesome.
It's really crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's so cool. It's a good way to, it's another way to support learning in the mm-hmm. community, lifelong learning, and also for people who don't speak English. So.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of reading, and we got to wrap it up here, but I know that you have a lot of fantastic summer programs. And for those who are interested in what to do with your child or, you know, how do you encourage
or
them
yourself.
As they're in, or yourself, right. Or, you know, but you have a great Pause to Read
so
program.
Pause to Read was the theme for summer reading last year.
Oh, last year. Okay.
This
that's
year,
so
the summer reading theme is read to the rhythm. So we're doing a lot of music and rhythm theme programs.
Cool.
We've booked the taiko drumming group from the Buddhist temple is going to come and do a taiko drumming thing in the park. We have also the children's department does
weekly concerts in the park.
Concerts
yeah.
in the park for kids. What else are we? We're still booking all of our wonderful.
Did
we'll definitely
guys,
go to the website and check it out.
Do you guys want to do a reptile day again?
Oh
yeah.
My
yeah.
goodness.
Yeah. So we love the reptile.
Do they play music?
Okay. Yeah, they totally play
so
music.
They
sure.
go.
Yeah.
So last year, Sergeant Saul, in behind the scenes, I called it Sergeant Saul's Funtime Lizard Party.
Did you really?
That's
I'm
what
glad you never
that
told
was,
me that.
That was our code name.
That was
the code name.
I would have never Project shown up.
Or sometimes I called it Sergeant Saul's Lizard Bonanza. That was another one.
Oh
so
boy, you're special over at the library.
Yeah. yeah.
Saul brought his. Some of his personal pet lizards came to the library, and he just like let kids, grown-ups, everybody came and respectfully petted the
bearded dragons.
Mm-hmm. And what was the snake that you had? Is it a corn snake?
California king snake.
And it was a lot of fun. It was just.
And we have more. Those are the smaller ones. So.
That's great.
Things that you didn't know about. Sergeant Jaeger, you kind of now know, but
we could do the second annual.
We'll
Sergeant
do part
Saul's
two of that
Funtime Lizard Party.
Can we never call it what you?
Yes.
Lizard Bonanza. I don't know. That just sounds awesome.
So. Funtime Lizard Jamboree.
Or call it that, but just let me know and don't tell him.
Or
and then,
don't tell her at all. That would be also awesome.
So, speaking of telling, if you want to come and talk to the folks at the library, your library in the city of Mountain View, they're open Monday to Thursday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Sundays from 1 to 5 p.m., exclusions apply, I guess, for holidays. I mean, it's just hours are different. And if you want to give them a call, 650 area code 903-6337. You can, of course, go to their website. Follow them on Twitter at MV Public Library. You should also follow Police Department, too. And they are on Facebook, and you can search them or look them up at MVP Library on Facebook. Anything else, Sergeant Jaeger?
Yeah, if you see something,
say something.
Please call the police department if you see anything suspicious. 650-903-6395. Follow us on Twitter.
At Mountain View PD. And thank you to our guests. Have a great day, Mountain View.
Any unit available? I got a 1066 that just ran across from the apartment complex towards the train track and might be hiding.
10 Barber, 1019.